Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for this time to be in your house, to sing your praises, to lift up our prayers, to hear from your word, to come to your son's table, to receive his body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Father, we thank you for all good things are from you. Father, we thank you that you have never left us or abandoned us. Father, we thank you that you are with us in our trials. You are with us in our moments of doubt. Father, we thank you that through your work, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you give us resiliency. And that this is a blessing not just for us, but for those around us. And that in sharing this gift with others, that you have given us a way to introduce them to your love found in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray for your blessings on this sermon series, that you would use this sermon series to equip this church, to equip us in our walk with you personally and individually, and to equip us in our walk with you in this community and wherever you take us, Father. That we would be your disciples, that we would be focused on what you're focused on. Father, don't let us leave the same as we entered here today. Because if that happens, that means we weren't listening, or worse yet, we were fighting against your will. We were rejecting the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our minds. So, Father, focus us now. Speak to us. Give us your direction for our lives this week. Enable us, Father. Equip us, exhort us, encourage us. That we would go forward from this place, and that we would do those good works that you have prepared in advance for us to do. That you would be glorified, Father. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's children, we all say, amen. Amen. I want to encourage you again, open up your worship bulletins, get out a pen or pencil. There's a space in there for you to take some sermon notes. I'm going to share some stuff with you that you're going to want to take down. You're going to want to share this with other people. We're in our sermon series on resiliency. And so in our first week, we looked at resiliency and gratitude. And last week, I was asked, what is resiliency? And so here's just a real short, simple answer to what resiliency is. Resiliency is the ability to bounce back when something happens to you. But not just to bounce back, but to bounce back stronger and smarter. And one of the things that you and I just have to understand about the walk of our life on this earth is that it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be great. Jesus said that in this world you will have difficulties, but to take heart because I have overcome this world. When you wake up in the morning, dads, moms, grandparents, children, when you wake up in the morning, I don't know how to break this to you, but life is waiting to kick you in the head. You just don't know which side you're going to get kicked on or how many times. It's just the reality of living in a fallen world. So then the question is, how do we react to that? How do we respond? How do we go forward? And that's where resiliency comes in. And I went through this Master Resiliency Training Program, as I mentioned in the welcome, and it was a fantastic thing. God led me to do this sermon series. Because, you know, what God laid on my heart is, Jim, as great as this material is, what I have to share with the people in my word is so much better. And it's amazing because God's opened a door in January. You know, I'm the volunteer chaplain for our police department. In January, the entire police force is going to have 3 Thursdays set aside where I'm going to be taking them through, shift by shift, through the 11 domains of resiliency. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? Amen. Amen. So today we're going to talk about resiliency and goals. And I'm really just so excited to talk with you about this. Goals are so important, and here's why. Because when you have a goal, then you have something that you're focused on. And it's something that's somewhat off in the distance. It can be a short-term goal, mid-term, long-term goal, but it's somewhat off in the distance. And so because you are focused somewhat off in the distance, you're able to look beyond what's going on right around you. And even when what's going on right around you gets right up in your face, you're able to find a way around it. Why? Because that's not your focus. What's your focus is this goal that's somewhere down the road. My dad's mom, my grandmother, Eleanor Buckman, great German little lady. She was just a wonderful child of God. I can't wait to see her again in heaven. Whenever we would accomplish one of our goals, Grandma Buckman was always there to celebrate with us, to laugh with us, to cheer with us, just to share her love with us. And it was such a blessing. But do you know what my grandmother would always say when all the celebrating was done? So what's next? Grandma Buckman understood something a long time before any books on resiliency were ever written. And that is the importance of goals. And when you accomplish one goal by God's grace, then you need to look on to the next goal. But here's the thing that the experts tell us about goals, and I want to share this with you. This is really critical that you get this. The experts tell us two important numbers. The first is that only 3% of Americans take the time to write down their goals. To write down their goals. And by that I mean, you know, what is your goal? How are you going to achieve it? What are the steps? Who needs to be involved? How will we measure it? All of those things. Only 3% of Americans take the time to write down their goals. And some people will say, but you know what, Pastor Jim, you know, that's fine, but I don't really need to write down my goals. I'm pretty happy where I am in life. And so that leads me to my second statistic I want to share with you. And the best research is this, that the people who write down their goals, listen to me now, the people who write down their goals achieve 10 times as much on average as the people who don't write down their goals. So you might say, life's going fine, I don't need to write down goals. And I say, that's great, but what would your life look like if you did? Goals are critical to resiliency. We've got two videos that we're gonna watch, one at the beginning of the message, one towards the end. Dick, that's your cue. We're gonna watch this first video here. Everybody say a silent prayer that our 200-year-old computer works. You know, it's not too late to start putting your Christmas list together. Stores are doing this. And so here's Pastor's Christmas wish list, a new computer for audio visual. That's my wish list for Christmas. So we're going to pull up this video here from a well-known movie. It speaks to goals. How about those Cubs? They're getting close, aren't they? Marie had it in first service and last night. So we just need to go to the folder that has the videos in it. I'm not talking to you, Maria. I'm just trying to help everybody. We're trying to take the pressure off of you. There we go. Can we turn it up just a little bit?
Sell a bone density scanner. How about that? You want to do that?
No. Hey, Dad, I'm going pro.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. You know, you'll probably be about as good as I was. That's kind of the way it works, you know, and I was below average. You know, so you'll probably ultimately rank somewhere around there, you know, so I really, you'll excel at a lot of things, just not this. I don't want you out here shooting this ball around all day and night, all right?
All right.
Okay. Good. let somebody tell you you can't do something. Not even me. All right?
All right.
You got a dream, you got to protect it. People can't do something themselves. They want to tell you you can't do it. You want something, go get it. Period.
Sell a bone density scanner. How about that?
You
want to do that?
No.
Hey,
Dad, I'm going pro.
Were you muted?
I'm going pro.
Oh.
Did you pull the volume down on it?
Yeah.
There we go. Thanks. You'll have about 10 minutes till the next video comes up. So that clip is from the movie The Pursuit of Happiness. It's a great movie to check out. Goals are such a big part of scripture. They make for great cinema. They make for great mental health classes. But goals, more importantly, ultimately, are from scripture. One of my favorite passages, Jeremiah chapter 29:11, tells us that God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Scripture is full of passages about goals. I found hundreds of them in my research for the sermon. I'm not going to read them all to you, but if you'd like, I can give you the list and you can look at them. I do want to read these four for you, though, today. From Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it's a good verse to write down. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." That's Psalm 37, verse 4. Philippians chapter 3, 14 says, "I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And Proverbs 3:6 is a favorite in my house. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Brothers and sisters in Christ, goals are part of God's plan for us. God has goals for us, and God wants us to have goals. He wants us to go through life with goals. And so as I was preparing for today's message, the thought that I just kept wrestling through in my mind is, then why is it that only 3% of Americans write down their goals? I mean, if you're 10 times as effective, then why don't more people do this, if it's such a good thing? And as I was thinking about it, I'm sure you have some ideas in response to that. Here's three that came to my mind. The first one is despair. There's a lot of people that are in a place of despair in their life. You know, when you're 88 years old and you've got medical problems and the fourth doctor in a row has told you there's nothing that we can do, it's easy to get into a place of despair. And when you're in a place of despair, whether you're 88 or 22, when you're in a place of despair, then you look at your life and you say, what's the point in planning for the future? What's the point in having goals? I think that's one reason why we don't do it. I think another reason why we don't write out our goals is that many of us are in a place of defeat. There are too many people who have a defeated attitude. They look at their life, they look at what they're going through, and they say, you know, these problems that I have in my life, these challenges that I have in my life, they're in my life because my ex-husband did this. These problems are in my life because my dad did this. These problems are in my life because my employer did this. These problems are in my life because the fill in the blank did this. And because that person, those people, that group, that organization, whatever it was, because they did it to me, then there's no hope for me. This is just the way my life is, and I'm just gonna have to go through it. It's because nothing's changing. That's the defeated attitude. But even the more serious one is why people don't have goals in their relationship with God. Listen to me now. Because this is the really big one. Why don't people have goals in their relationship with God? And I would submit to you that the reason people don't have goals in their relationship with God is because they're in a place of denial. Because they look at their life and they have this life habit. They have this thing going on with how they talk and how they act towards God, towards others. It might be a relationship. It might be how they handle their finances. It could be any one of a number of things. They know it doesn't square with God's word, but so what do they do? What's their response? To look and to say, well, you know what? God's okay with me doing this. And here's why. And they look and they say, well, I know this isn't right, but you know what? After all, I like to sin, sure, but he likes to forgive. And so this is going to work out pretty good. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's not how it works. And so the thing that we have to understand, our reality is that only 3% of us write out our goals of any kind. But we have a Savior who came to redeem a lost and dying world. And here's the thing I want you to get today. Jesus' ministry was driven by goals. Jesus' ministry was driven by goals from beginning to end. Jesus' ministry was driven by goals. It began when he was in heaven. Jesus' first goal was to leave heaven and to come to earth. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 7, that we should have the same attitude of Christ, who did not consider it robbery, but lowered himself, taking on the form of a man, and came into this world. Jesus had the goal of coming into this world. And do you know when he set that goal? I want you to think about this, because this is the amazing part. He set that goal before Adam and Eve ever fell into sin. Scripture says that before Adam and Eve ever fell into sin, that God had already foreordained the salvation of the world. And the salvation of the world came through a man. His name starts with the letter J. He's the hero of the story. Everybody say his name together. Jesus. That's exactly right. Jesus' first goal was to enter into humanity, to leave heaven, to leave the angels, to leave the Father and the Spirit, to come and walk upon this earth. And then his next goal was to live a spotless life on this earth. And I want you to think about that, because Jesus could have fallen into sin. He could have. Scripture says this, that we have a high priest who's familiar with all of our sufferings. He was tempted in every way. Now listen to me. If you're tempted, that means you can what? You can sin. If you can't sin, it's not a temptation. That's what the devil wanted. That's what his adversaries wanted. But Jesus lived a perfect life. It says he was found to be without sin. Why? So that he could be the unblemished sacrifice. When God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden and said, "Your sin will result in death," that death ultimately was upon his son who died at the cross. And that was Jesus' third goal. His third goal was to go to the cross to die for our sins. And this was not an easy goal to accomplish. There were a lot of obstacles in the way. There were the Pharisees, the Sadducees. There were the lawyers. There were the doubters. And there were his own disciples. When Jesus went to his disciples and said, "It's time for me to go up to Jerusalem. It's prophesied that I will die and 3 days later I'll rise." One of his disciples said, you know, Rabbi, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think this is going to work out too good for you. It's probably not going to work out too good for us. Why don't we, postpone that plan?" But Scripture says that Jesus, he had his face set like flint. You ever felt flint? It's a hard rock. It's a tough rock. Jesus set his face like flint. He was focused. There was nothing that was going to get in the way of this goal getting done. And that's why he said to this disciple, he said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's exactly right. Jesus' goal was to go to the cross. Jesus said, "Nobody takes my life from me. Nobody takes my life from me. I give it up of my own accord." This was Jesus' goal. But that wasn't his last goal, thank the Lord, because his next goal came 3 days later, when what would happen? When he would rise from the dead. We call that what day of the year? Easter Sunday. Can we give God a praise clap for Easter Sunday? Amen. So important. Why? Because Jesus' goal was to not just die to pay for our sins, but to rise again so that you and I would know that the grave doesn't have the final victory. That you and I would know that just as he was raised from the dead, so also we who were baptized into him, thank God for baptism, amen, that we who were baptized into him will also be what? Raised from the dead. Exactly right. Well, that wasn't his last goal. Then his next goal was to ascend back into heaven. Why? Because by ascending into heaven, he would show that he was going to prepare a place for us. But before he did that, he gathered up all the disciples. And he said to them, "Now listen to me. I'm getting ready to go back to my Father's house. And if I go there, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to gather you, and I'm going to bring you back. But here's the thing I want you to do in the meantime. I've got a goal for you. And here's my goal for you, church. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he's going to give you power. You're going to be anointed from on high. And you're going to be my witnesses, my martyria." It's where we get the English word martyr. The Greek word is martyria. You're going to be my martyria. You're going to be my martyrs. You're going to be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you to the very end of the age." Jesus' ministry was goal-driven. The church is goal-driven. And we need to understand something. The number one goal of the church is to make Jesus known in this world. Because there is no other name given under heaven by which man would be saved. If you believe that to be true, give God a praise clap this morning. God has goals for this world. God's goal for this world is that all would be saved. He does not delight in the destruction of anybody. And so how does God do that? He does that through Scripture. Faith comes through hearing the Word. He does that by the power of the Holy Spirit. He does that in the waters of baptism. God's goal for this world is that we would be saved. And then God's second goal is that those who are saved would grow in their holiness. That's called sanctification. Everybody say sanctification. Sanctification. See, God loved us so much. Listen to me. God loved us so much that he accepted us just the way we were. But God loved us so much that he didn't leave us the way he found us. He grew us and he grows us in our walk with him. Amen? Amen. See, there's something that we have to understand is that there's only 3% of this population that writes down its goals. But here's the bigger number to remember, and that's 0%. Because 0% of this population can come up with a plan or a goal or a set of processes that will bring them into a right relationship with God. Absolutely 0% can do that. Salvation is found only through the Son. 100% who call upon him will be saved. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? Amen. We have a wonderful mission statement as a church that we're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel through doing three things, through our preaching, through our teaching, and through living our daily lives. And today we're talking about resiliency and goals. And what I want to close with right now are the four steps to Christian goal setting. And if you've got your bulletins open, if you've got a pen or pencil out, you'll want to write these down. The first step to Christian goal setting is this: to identify the values of your faith. To identify the values of your faith. And for each of you, it's going to be different. There's not a two of you who's going to be the same. There'll be some similarities, but there are also going to be some very great uniquenesses. So the first step is to identify the values of your faith. And that's so critical, because in goal setting, if you don't start out with what are the values of my faith, then by default, you start out with what are my values. And if you go down that path, you could end up being Adolf Hitler, right? So goal setting is not good unto itself. It has to begin in the right place, and the perfect place is upon the Word of God. And so the first step is to identify my Christian values. And I want you to take this home and to reflect on it this week. What are my Christian values? Because that's step number one. Step number two, then, is what are the goals that God has for me? Did you catch that? That God has for me. So first we look at what are my Christian values. Then we look at what are the goals that God has for me. And then the third step is what are the priorities? And here's the thing you have to understand. There can only be one number one priority. You can have a laundry list of goals, but if you want to succeed, you got to have one to be number one. What is your top priority? Because that's where you have to put all of your energy, all of your resources into accomplishing that. What are the priorities? That's number three. And then finally, number four, the final goal is so simple. It's so sweet. What is the first step? You've got to write this down. You've got to think it through. You've got your values. You've got your goals. You've prioritized them. Now what you have to do is figure out what is your first step. Because it's not until you decide what your first step is and then carry it through that you will be any closer to your goals. They'll just be dreams. We're going to close our message now with our second video. It's a powerful video. I think it's going to speak to your heart. It's all about goals. We need the volume up.
What's for breakfast?
Got a headache.
It's raining.
My dog is sick.
I can't
right now. I'm not inspired.
Makes me smell bad.
I'm allergic to stuff. I'm fat. I'm thin. It's too hot.
I'm not right.
I've got shin splints. Headache. I'm distracted.
I'm exerting myself too much.
I'd love to really, but I can't. I just can't.
My favorite show is on.
I got a case of the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday.
I don't want to do this. I'm gonna do something else.
After New Year's.
Next week.
Might make a mistake.
I got homework.
Well, I feel bloated.
I have gas.
I got a hot date.
My coach hates me.
Mom won't let me.
I bruise easily.
It's too dark.
It's too cold.
Oh, my blister hurts.
This is dangerous.
Sorry, I don't have a bike.
I didn't get enough sleep.
My tummy hurts.
It's not in my jeans.
I don't want to look all tired out.
I need a better coach.
I don't like getting tackled.
I have a stomachache.
I'm not the athletic type.
I want to get sweaty.
I have better things to do.
I don't want
to
slow you down.
I have to do this?
As soon as I get a promotion.
I think I'll sit this one out.
And my feet hurt.
The confession of our faith in the words of the historic Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the